You could open your Bibles to the 5th chapter of Ephesians. I want us to begin to read with the 18th verse. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I want to go on reading because it's a thought I want to pick up here. Next verse said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You see, that's the way the church is sanctified and cleansed, by the washing of water by the word. Hallelujah. Jesus said to the disciples just before he went away after his death, burial, and resurrection, now you're clean. How? Through the word which I've spoken to you. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, there's just a little side thoughts there, but really what I want to talk about is keeping filled with the Spirit. Notice the text said, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, or drunk in other words, praise God, be filled with the Spirit. Now those who are Greek scholars tell us that there is actually a play here on this word, be filled, the Greek that is translated into English from, that denotes continuous action. Actually, they say a more literal translation, he says, but be being filled. In other words, maintain that Spirit-filled experience, but be being filled with the Spirit. Now, you see, Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus. Well, this is not a direction to folks who are not filled to be filled. They should be filled, all right. These people had already been filled with the Holy Ghost. You go back to the 19th chapter of Acts, and you see there that the Word of God tells us that Paul came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? They said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, and unto what then were ye baptized? They said unto John's baptism. See, John just baptized in the name of the Father. Jesus hadn't come yet. So they was baptized unto John's baptism. That's the reason they hadn't heard about the Holy Ghost. If they'd been baptized under Jesus' baptism, they'd been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Therefore, they'd heard about it. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, so that is by the authority of Jesus. Now notice this. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. I didn't tell how many women and children there were. Just said all the men were about 12. But if it's like it is today, it would be about 4 to 1. So there'd be about 48 of them altogether. Now, these same people that had received this experience, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost, and spoke with other tongues, it is to this same church and same people that Paul by the Holy Ghost is writing and saying, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Or he's encouraging them to continuous action, but be being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. So then, being filled with, or be being filled with the Spirit is recognizable. You know it, and others know it. How are they going to know? Did you ever stop to think about it? Back here again to Acts. The Word of God tells us in the 6th chapter of Acts that in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not meet that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men. Number one, of honest report." Well, it's recognizable when people have an honest report, isn't it? Amen. You know it. Others know it. When folks have an honest report. Number one, look ye out 7 men. Number one, of honest report. Secondly, full of the Holy Ghost. Then being full of the Holy Ghost must be as recognizable as having an honest report. Amen. Isn't that right? Full of the Holy Ghost, or filled, in other words, with the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And then it went on to list the names of 7 men whom they chose. Whom we may appoint these men over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. I mean, the preacher said something that pleased everybody. They must have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, you ever stop thinking about it? I don't know how many see the church at this time just existed in one place, and that was in Jerusalem. Are you listening to me? I know there's 120 baptized the Holy Ghost day on the day of Pentecost. I know there were 3,000 saved on one occasion. I know there's 8,000 saved on another occasion. So I know they had at least 8,120 members there at the church in Jerusalem. And the preacher said something that pleased everybody. They must have been filled with the Holy Ghost. You could take a half a dozen people nowadays. You couldn't hardly say something that pleased everybody. Now I want you to hold that in your mind, because I'm going to come back to it after a little. So don't forget it. So then, being filled with the Spirit is a recognizable experience. Or being full of the Holy Ghost is a recognizable experience. Or else they wouldn't know how to select 7 men full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Must be recognizable. Now Paul goes on, you know, after he says to them by the Spirit of God, exhorts them by the Spirit of God, that they are to be being filled with the Spirit. Then he goes on in the 19th, 20th, and 21st verses to give us the marks or the characteristics of those who are filled with the Spirit. Or how you can tell, in other words. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. Number one, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Now, if you'll just sum up those three words, there's a key word in each verse that'll tell you the mark of one filled with the Spirit. And that is speaking or singing. Singing, giving, and submitting. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Now notice that the first characteristic of being filled with the Spirit is an overflowing testimony. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, past experience is fine. These people had had a past experience. They had been, on one occasion, filled with the Holy Ghost. 12 men, plus the women and children, when Paul laid hands on them. Others, I'm sure, had been added to them by now, for this is a number of years later that Paul wrote to them. Well, past experience is fine, but what about now? D.L. Moody said, people who's always talking about past experiences and what happened to me in the past are living on stale manna. We ought to have an up-to-date experience. What happened to us today, praise God, now, in the present tense. Not that we have to refer back yonder to some kind of an experience. Yeah, thank God for that past experience. No, he said, to be filled with the Spirit or be being filled with the Spirit means that you've got a song inside right now. Hallelujah. You know, spiritual health is as discernible as physical health is. It's easy to tell when somebody's not feeling well physically, isn't it? If you're around them very much, isn't it? Sure it is. Quite discernible. Number of different things show up on the outside when you don't feel well. Amen. Spiritual health, sort of like physical health, is discernible. I remember reading one time from the pen of Donald G. Donald G. was an Assemblies of God minister from Great Britain. And so he said, in his town where he was pastor years before he became a leader of the movement, The Process of Time. But in his town, city, well, he said, somebody else started a church. See, it's the early days of the Pentecostal movement. His was the only Pentecostal church in town. But somebody else started a church. And they got some of his members. And so he said, without really realizing, you know, sometimes without realizing it, our spiritual health depletes just like our physical health does. And he said, I really didn't realize that I had some little ill feeling about this fellow pastor. I didn't know, of course, that I wouldn't attend anything they had. And didn't invite them to attend anything that we had. But he said there was a missionary on the foreign field that our church was supporting. The missionary's coming home and has come home on furlough. And of course they make their way from church to church, you know, to get their support for their next tenure. And so he said, I met him at the boat. This is many years ago. Folks didn't fly in those days. They came by boat or rail. And so I met him as he came from the foreign field, picked him up in my automobile. We renewed acquaintance. We started toward the parsonage. You know, he's going to have a service that night in my church for several nights. Said he suddenly looked at me and said, Donald G., your spiritual health has deteriorated. You're not where you were with God the last time I saw you. He said, I thought that was a blow while my church is being blessed. We're growing, you know, and I'm not where I ought to be. No, he said, your spiritual health has deteriorated. Well, he said, I sort of first wanted to get mad about it, and then I couldn't do that and stay right. And so I sort of passed it off. But when I got home, I got off by myself, said, Lord, what's the matter? The Lord began to bring up to him about this other fella. So he just contacted him and asked him if he'd come over and be with them in their missionary convention. Praise God. And then asked him to preach for them. And he said, we developed the greatest friendship between the two churches, and both of us just grew tremendously. Hallelujah. Well, I said all that to you to say this to you. Now, that missionary, you see, it was quite discernible that this minister of the gospel, this pastor's spiritual health wasn't at the same level it was when he knew him there several years before he went on his missionary tour. He did something to correct it. We'll get around to that later on. Now, spiritual health is discernible. Hallelujah. You know, it's quite discernible when people are singing. Have you ever noticed that? And Paul said here that if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be singing. Hallelujah. You'll be singing. Oh, I've got a song on the inside of me. Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's going to come out. Even we folks who can't carry a tune, we sing sometimes. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. The song's there. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Wonderful to have a song on the inside, isn't it? When you got a song on the inside, it'll show up out here.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing can stop the man or the woman from singing who is filled with the Spirit. I don't care what comes. Nothing can stop them. Hallelujah, from singing when they're filled with the Spirit. So that's the first mark, a song inside, an overwhelming testimony. I want you to notice the second mark, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's not only full of singing, he's full of giving thanks. Amen. Not whining and grumbling and fussing and fighting. That's not a characteristic of being filled with the Spirit. That's a characteristic of walking in the flesh. Hallelujah. Somebody said to me one time years ago, yeah, but now Brother Hagin said they don't ever call on me to... This was the days when Pentecostal churches, you know, they just thought this backslid if they didn't have a testimony meeting every time they went to church. So this fellow said to me, you know, they never do call on me to lead the testimony service. I said, thank God for it. If you was filled with the Spirit, you'd be thanking God, because he said, giving thanks for all things. Amen. Thank God for it. Well, they never even, one lady said to me, asked me to teach a Sunday school class. I said, thank God for it. Hallelujah. Amen. They never called on me, another fellow said, for anything. I said to him, thank God for it. Stay filled with the Spirit, giving thanks for all things. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Sure, you're not going to thank God for somebody getting killed, and the devil, what he did. But we give thanks in all things, no matter what happens. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Full of thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I know last year we were preaching out there at Brother Fred Price's church. Somebody burglarized our home. Ken called and said they broke into the house. I said, praise God. First thing I said, praise God. Now, I'm not praising God what the devil did, but I'm just praising God in all things. Not going to take away my praise. I don't care what happened. Not going to take away my thanksgiving. I don't care what happened. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Not whining and griping and fussing and fuming, but thanking. That's the difference. Giving praise. Now notice the 21st verse. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Submitting yourself, that means brokenness and humility. It's easy to submit to the other fella when you have that kind of a spirit. Now I said to you, because I continue to read the next word, verse read, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Some people take that verse out of its setting and would tell you, you know, that the man, he's the head of the home, and of course he is, but they overly emphasize some things, and you're going to do what I tell you to do. But you know, down there said, husbands, love your wife. He is submit to the will of love. Well, that doesn't mean that the wife is a slave. If that's true, then he said in the previous verse, the verse just in front of it, then for all of us to be slaves to one another. Amen. Now I'm going to say something else. I want you to get the parallel. You see, here's one verse it said, submitting yourselves to one another. That's church members, isn't it? Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. Next verse, wives, submit yourselves. Well, now, does that mean, you know, that the wife doesn't have any say-so? She's just like a slave or a servant, you know. She has just to obey to the letter whatever her husband said, you know. Well, if that's so, then we ought to obey one another, whatever one another says to us. No, that just simply means that as far as possible, when it said submit yourself one another, we're to get along with one another. Are you listening to me? To give in. To submit means to give in. To give in to one another in the fear of God. Now, a lot of folks believe in submitting 100% as long as the other fellow submits to me. But when it comes my time to submit, I don't much believe in it. Amen? Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. No, it works both ways. Submitting yourselves to one another. Giving in to one another. We need to maintain. If you keep filled with the Spirit, you will maintain a broken and a humble spirit. Submitting yourselves to one another. Many times you can bring the Word of God, teach, preach God's Word, and folks get offended instead of being submissive. They're not teachable. You see, this word submit, submitting to one another, carries with it the thought of brokenness, carries with it the thought of humility, carries with it the thought of teachableness. I don't care how much you speak with other tongues, and I certainly believe in speaking with other tongues and wouldn't speak slightly of speaking with other tongues at all. I don't care how much tongue talking you do. If you don't maintain a teachable spirit, you are not maintaining a spirit-filled life. Now, to maintain a spirit-filled life, to keep filled with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, doesn't mean that you always agree with everything everybody says. You might not agree with them, but you're not going to argue and fuss about it. The Holy Ghost is not a spirit of arguing and fussing. I never have figured out why folks in the church get so upset about a lot of things that don't amount to a lot anyway. What difference does it make? I call it majoring in the minors. Seems to me like the church has majored in the minors. Things of minor importance, they put major importance on them. Well, we believe Jesus, the Son of God, that's a major important. We believe that He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We believe He was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. For our justification. Amen. We believe that He is Savior and Lord. Glory to God. No, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're not so hard to get along with. Amen. Are you listening to me? Notice, go back. I told you I was going to bring your attention to that fact that the Scripture said the saying pleased the whole multitude. This is the early church in the beginning, filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, when you keep filled with the Spirit, you're not so hard to please. I get aggravated sometimes, I'll be honest with you. And I have to get back and get filled with the Spirit. I get aggravated to people a lot of times, you know, that, well, they wouldn't listen to anybody but a faith teacher. Well, sometimes in some other areas, a lot of people know a lot of good things. See, I'm a faith teacher. Thank God I teach faith now for 50 years. I'm going to keep on teaching it. But that doesn't mean that everybody that doesn't necessarily put the same emphasis on faith that I do are wrong. They may be a lot of things that they know more about than I do. I might learn something from them. Thank God I can remember years ago when I came into the Pentecostal movement and I'd been healed several years before. In fact, 3 years before. Over 3 years before. And had been in the ministry for some time. I didn't see speaking with tongues and being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, but I'd been healed. But when I came among them, I knew more about faith than they did. But they knew more about the Holy Ghost than I did. Well, just because they didn't know about faith when I did, doesn't mean I didn't listen to them. Thank God I learned a lot about the Holy Ghost from them. And if they had listened, they'd have learned a lot about faith from me. Some of them did, thank God. Are you listening to me? And so, if we're filled with the Spirit, we're not so hard to please. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Folks get hard to please, it's because that they're out of joint some way or another. Amen. That doesn't mean now that I just always agree with everything. But oh, I want to maintain that kind of a spirit that God can bless. Are you listening to me? And that He will bless. Praise His holy name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, how can we keep filled? How can we keep filled? He encourages us to keep filled, gives us the mark of the Spirit-filled experience. Let's go back to the Acts again and read some verses. The Acts of the Apostles. Notice several verses here. First of all, we'll look into the 4th chapter of Acts. The 8th verse. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. You know, Peter and John, after the man at the gate called Beautiful was healed, they were questioned, taken into question, arrested. And so he's speaking to them. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I thought he's filled with the Holy Ghost several days before on the day of Pentecost. He was. But now then, he's being filled. Hallelujah. As Paul was telling these folks, but be being filled. He's still filled. He maintains that filled experience. Filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, I want you to notice the boldness of his testimony here. You can go on reading it. Said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised up from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I want you to notice something given here. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, and when they saw the boldness, notice that there's boldness goes along with being filled with the Spirit. Amen. A bold testimony. Well now, in this same 4th chapter of Acts, these Peter and John were threatened, commanded to preach and teach no more in the name of Jesus. Being let go, they went into their own company, that's the believers now, reported unto them all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They lifted up their voice, all of them, with one accord in prayer to God, and so on. Notice that 31st verse now. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. That means the house shook, doesn't it? It says the place, doesn't it? Where they were assembled was shaken. People get excited because people shake sometimes. Because somebody falls under the power. You wait till the house starts shaking, they will get excited. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. Now notice, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I thought that bunch just got the baptism back over there in the 2nd chapter of Acts. Didn't he? I said, didn't he? But now then it says, and they were all filled. They maintain that. That's what Paul was talking about. He said, but be being filled. But be being filled with the Spirit. Now I want you to notice something here again now in connection with be being filled with the Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and did what? As a result of be being filled. As a result of keeping filled. What did they do? Spake the word of God with boldness. Boldness. How can we keep filled? Number one, a bold testimony. Hallelujah. Bold, uncompromising, unquenchable testimony wherever you go. Now, a bold witnessing will bring persecution. Did then, will now. but bold witnessing, bless God, will keep the fire burning. It'll bring persecution, but persecution will keep the fire burning. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. Now, that doesn't mean be stupid. Go blabbing off, you know, in the wrong place. Oh, you're listening to me now. Now, second thing, how to keep filled with the Spirit. Number one, bold testimony. Number two, obedience. Stay in obedience. Notice the 13th chapter of Acts, the 9th verse. Then Paul, or Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. There he is again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I thought he got the Holy Ghost when Ananias laid hands on him back there in the 9th chapter. Yes. But he's keeping filled. Hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him. And you went on to see as he said to this man who endeavored to Elymas the sorcerer, withstood them seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And he said, Paul said, see, filled with the Holy Ghost, obeyed the Holy Ghost, and said, O, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thy enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord's upon thee. You know what the hand of the Lord is? Well, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost moves to bless us. Are you listening? Now listen. And thou shalt be blind and not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell a darkness on him, a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, Paul didn't strike that man blind with disease or sickness. He didn't have any disease or sickness. Are you listening to me? It was only a temporary thing, just for a season, that he couldn't see as a sign of the presence of God. Are you listening to me? There'll be things like that happening these last days in which we're living. You mark my word and watch it. Amen. Now then, notice again in the 11th chapter of Acts, the thought I want you to notice now is in connection with being filled with the Spirit, not baptized with the Holy Ghost, but being filled, being filled. Notice this 24th verse of this 11th chapter. This is talking about Barnabas. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Notice he said he was full. Well, we know he got baptized with the Holy Ghost, all right, but here he said he was full of the Holy Ghost. So I want you to notice how to keep filled with the Spirit. First, maintain a bold testimony. Second, maintain obedience, obey God. Number three, consecration. Consecration must be a continuous thing. It's not just something that's done once and for all, but it must be a continuous thing. A lot of times in years gone by, and I think we need to get back, like Ken said, to singing some of those old songs. We used to sing, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. Praise God. That ought to be a continuous thing. We ought to, with the same fire, with the same enthusiasm, praise God with the same spirit, sing today, I'll go where you want me to go. You know, and I think a lot of people have sung that, and some still sing it, all right, but with some reservations. Well, that'll keep you from maintaining a spirit-filled life. Yeah, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, as long as it's not this place or that place, you know. As long as I can select where I'm going. But the Lord's to be the master. Amen. Amen? I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do, as long as it's not teach a Sunday school class. Or go to prayer meeting. Of course, I don't want to do that. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Now you see, if I wanted to, I could really get to meddling here. But it would all be true. Consecration. Those three things are the things that are going to keep us filled. Bold testimony, obedience, consecration. And consecration must be a continuous thing. If you are not overflowing, if you are not in victory, if you do not have a submissive, broken, humble spirit, then you need a rededication and a reconsecration. Put everything on the altar of God. Are you listening? The fire of God will fall. Praise God, just like it did in the beginning. In other words, make a fresh consecration. Be determined, praise God, to obey God. Be determined to do His will. And you'll be singing again in the Spirit. Praise God. Now, we mentioned bold testimony. I want to go over again. Then obedience. Now, learn sometime that God will tell you to keep quiet under certain circumstances. Just keep your mouth shut. That's harder sometimes than it is to speak. Because in some places, under some circumstances, to boldly testify would be just like the Bible talks about casting your pearls before swine. Be sensitive on the inside to the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? Be sensitive. Learn to listen to Him. He'll never mislead you. And that's one thing we need to learn in the Spirit-filled life, is that not only are we filled by the Spirit-filled, but thank God, Spirit-led. Now, there are times that certain, we need to realize this, that certain things are right. And under circumstances, the same thing can be wrong. Now, the Bible teaches restitution. And yet, sometimes restitution has been overly emphasized. There's some things you couldn't possibly make restitution for. There's no way for you to try to do it. Now, as Christians, that's a different thing for the simple reason that it's the one thing where you missed it. I mean, if you missed it where you owe everybody restitution, I don't know about you. But there's a lot of things you couldn't possibly make restitution for. Impossible. And as a sinner, things that happened to us in times past, just thank God that it's all under the blood. Glory to God, and go on with Jesus. Are you listening to me? Well, now, because of things I'd heard and all, when I got born again on the bed of sickness, I remember I said to the Lord, you see, I was physically handicapped as a youngster and couldn't run and play. Now, I did very limitedly, you understand. But I mean like others. I couldn't excel when it come to running and so on and so forth and playing or playing ball or something, you know. And, of course, there's a certain amount of human ego about all of us, you know. You want to do something that the other boys couldn't do, you know. And so, I had a talent or two. I don't know where I got them, but they just went along with my physical makeup, I guess, that others didn't have. There's two things I could do. I could always tame any kind of a wild animal, or I could open any lock. And I had some experience in both areas. And then I could through sleight of hand, could pick up things and folks are watching me. And sometimes there's three or four boys stationed around F.W. Woolworth stores on the west side of the square there in McKinney. And then the clerks are watching and several of the boys are watching. And I'd go into the store and come out, you know. And they'd say, well, you didn't get anything this time because we was all watching. And I'd start pulling out of my pocket. Picked up a pair of socks here, some other little trinket there, and had both pockets nearly full or something. Well, now, we watched you. How'd you do that? Well, I just did. Clerks was watching me, too. Well, I said to the Lord now, because, see, the boys knew it, but Woolworth didn't know that. Well, I'll go offer to pay for that. It wouldn't amount to 50 cents or a dollar, all of it over a period of a long time. because 5 and 10 cent stuff, you know. I'll get up from here, you know, I'll just go make restitution. I'll just go, if I don't have the money, I'll just go tell them about it and offer to pay them. Well, when I was healed, I started that way. I got almost down there, and the Spirit of God said to me just as plain, said, don't do it. Well, I said, Lord, the Bible teaches restoration. Yes, but said, they don't know anything about it. It's all gone, forgotten about it. You just go on and forget about it. So I just walked right on by Woolworth and forgot about it. That day to this. Are you listening to me? Now, that would be an entirely different thing if I, as a Christian now, did something. If I stole $5 from David Horton, I'm going to have to make restitution about that. Amen. Are you listening to me now? Amen. That's one thing we need to learn, to be filled with the Spirit, praise God, to learn obedience, but to learn the voice of the Spirit. Learn when to speak and when not to. He'll lead us as many as are led. Oh, glory to God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, in conclusion, I want you to notice something here. Paul said to this church at Ephesus, which would apply to the church at Tulsa, to you or me, Christians everywhere, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Now, this is something right now he's talking about, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Now, this is something that happens on the inside of you. And right now, he's talking about your own private devotions. But it'll show up on the outside. Paul said, writing to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, the 26th verse, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, talking about the believers in a believers' meeting now, every one of you, notice this now, every one of you hath a psalm. Now, where'd they get that psalm? Well, they got it back there while he's praying, praise God. Are you listening? See, you got to realize, we thank God for song books and so on, that they didn't have all the printing that we do and so on today. They didn't have song books. These psalms and hymns and spiritual songs he's talking about are something that's given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost at the moment. Now, psalm, of course, you know, we've got 150 of them there in the Old Testament. A psalm is a spiritual poem or an ode. It can be sung or chanted or just recited. But, of course, the spiritual song and the hymn would be sung. You go back and read many of those psalms. They bless us all right. But many of those psalms that were given to David, read about when they were given to him. He spoke them out by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Read about the trial he is going through at the time, what was happening, and you'll find that it was given to him for his own individual benefit. They bless us because we have a whole lot of the same kind of experience that he had and others. But at the moment, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, it was given to David for his own personal blessing and benefit. Here's something I think that the Pentecostal movement missed. They got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with tongues, and stopped at the door. And the charismatic movement, to a great extent, has missed. But this is something that ought to be going on in the lives of every individual Spirit-filled Christian, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing hallelujah, maintaining a melody, speaking unto the Lord. Now, I've noticed this in my own life. I speak with psalms quite frequently. Just go down the road in my car speaking in psalms. Lying on my bed in the nighttime, speaking in psalms. Sometimes in services when it's just right, because over in Colossians he talks about teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But I notice this in my own personal life when the heat is turned on. You know what I mean? The enemy's attacking. and you're under a great amount of pressure. I have more of those psalms. The Holy Ghost, you see, is coming, speaking out of my own heart. Hallelujah. And there have been nights that I just simply spoke all night long in psalms. Went to sleep speaking in psalm, woke up speaking in psalm. Other time did very little sleeping. Just spoke in psalm, one after another. Hallelujah. It just simply does something for you. Lifts you up above the clouds. Are you listening to me? Lifts you up above that. So maintain that. Somebody said, I've never done that. Well, keep on praying in other tongues. Bless God until you do. Get to that place and then learn to obey the Holy Ghost within you and speak right out, not only in tongues, but spikita karabra gedistangra didistambra vota degegedi lijgedistangra vababaya. Don't speak with tongues just because you can, because your spirit learns to speak with tongues. Yet, right on the other hand, you'll many times begin speaking because you want to and because you can, but then the inspiration comes when the Holy Ghost takes over and it just rolls out of you. Hallelujah. Amen. You didn't have anything to do with it. Just like then, that just come right out. Amen. I just didn't know it was coming. It just come up and out before you knew what it done. It's on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost is in there. Pentecostals used to sing a little old song, a little old chorus said, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling. Thank God that's exactly what it does. And if you'll just keep praying, it'll keep bubbling up till it comes out. Hallelujah. Hey, so rateke de probragide kalamba goloshasta evre befe ezuto rieciti frambafa bangriestica pafa ruganshi rungombre e shringa asgara jagoda bavanakas. For the Lord is good. Meditate upon His goodness, and He'll become more real to you, and the goodness of the Lord will be revealed unto you. Meditate upon your shortcomings. Meditate upon your faults. Meditate upon your failures, and keep looking back, and you'll grow into a spirit of depression. And the enemy will come in and overtake thee, and darkness shall circumscribe thy life. But turn again and look not to the back, but look to the front. Yea, even keep your eyes upon the Lord of glory, and the Lord of glory will shine upon thee, and you'll rise above the darkness and sing, and the Spirit of the Lord will rise up in you and give illumination unto your mind and direction unto your spirit, so that you no longer will be fearful, you no longer will be afraid, you no longer will walk in semi-darkness or in the twilight, but you'll walk in the full revelation of His love and might and His glory and His power and His Spirit shall be at your disposal both day and night. Hallelujah. 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 Praise His holy name. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Moaning and groaning and thinking about what could have been, what should have been, and what might even come to pass will only cause you to be defeated at last. But fixing your gaze solely upon Him, closing your ears to the voice of accusation, and listening to the word that's spoken unto you will bring joy to your heart, singing to your spirit, and uplift to your physical being. And yea, it shall seem as though another person you have become, because you're no longer unto the wiles of the devil succumbing, but you're walking in the realm of the Spirit, living in the realm of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And remember this, He knows the way, and He gives the victory today and every day. So what remains for me but praise? Yea, I'll give thanks unto Him. And my voice will I raise in the morning and at night time. and all the day through, raising my voice in praises unto Thee. Yea, lifting my voice and praising Thee out of a heart of gladness, gratitude, and blessing will cause me to mount up and dwell in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The enemy will not be able to gainsay or cause thee to deter and walk out of the way. But you, walking in the light of day, shall walk and not faint, shall run. Yea, all the blessings of God yours shall become. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah. 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 A frown. A moment of sadness. A recollection of mistakes, failures, and sins that are past will only bring condemnation, and the blessings of the Lord seem not to last. But looking away from all that has come your way, looking unto Him who is the author and the finisher of your faith, looking unto Him who is your Savior and Lord, looking unto Him who is the forgiver and has forgiven, looking unto Him who shed His blood and showed you the way, looking unto Him who brings the brightness of a new day, looking unto Him who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yea, keeping your gaze, even your eyes riveted on Him, refusing to look upon the darkness or upon the things that the enemy has done, will cause thee to rise above all the elements of doubt, will cause thee to rise above all the place of condemnation, and will cause thee to rise up in His glory, in His power, and His might with a mighty shout. Hallelujah. Stand up, bless God, and shout. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Walking. Walking in the flesh. Walking after the natural. Obeying the natural inclinations of the body will only bring despair, defeat, and all that's bad and wrong down here. But walking in the Spirit is walking in the light of life. Walking in Christ, for you are in Him, and He is in you. Letting your spirit man dominate, yea, looking unto Him. Speaking out of your heart, acting out of your heart, ministering out of your heart, or your spirit. For His Spirit dwells within your spirit, and so He will never lead you astray. But He'll lead you in the right way, and walking with Him will always cause you to walk in the light of the day. And the light shining upon your pathway will drive away all of the vestiges of darkness and doubt. And you'll be able, though the enemy comes against you with questionings and remembrances of the past, you'll be able to stand and smile and shout. Because you know, He paid the price, He paid the penalty, He redeemed you from all that is wrong, and you have no right to condemn yourself or to listen to the enemy and let him mislead. But yea, follow the leading of the Spirit, and he'll lead you into joy and into song. Hallelujah. 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 Praise his holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That ought to be going on every day in your life. Praise God. Then, of course, it's scriptural. Under some circumstances, to do it publicly. You'll notice Colossians, just keep standing, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Praise his holy name.